Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Stars, the great kings of the past.
Good morning, everybody. If you know your children's videos, then you will recognize where that song comes from, The Lion King. A song about the circle of life, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, the circle of life for each one of us. Now, we all know the circle of life when it comes to natural things. We think about the circle of life within a day. The sun rising in the morning, heating up the day, it cooling off and into darkness of the night, but to again appear in the morning. And so we have this circle in just one day. But that circle repeats itself in many ways. We see that repeated in a year. The cycle of the seasons. The springtime, the warming up, the fruiting of the trees, and then falling of the leaves back into winter, and then a rebirth again every spring. We recognize the circle of life within our own lives, within our family, within our generations, of people being born, people growing, maturing, the evening season of life to death, but a new generation coming along, being born, and going through that same cycle. So we're all very familiar with the circle of life. All very familiar. It is God's design. That's how He has created everything in His creation. Even our spiritual lives go through a circle of life. Everything in our spiritual lives, it's constantly moving. Or should be constantly moving on to the next stage, on to the next stage. Last week we spoke about being born again, and that being born again is not just one moment, but being born again is making that commitment to the Lord every moment of every day. And that being born again has its cycles, this cycle of being born again and again and again in different aspects of our life. And so we are going to be looking at today that next step. Perhaps in your spiritual life you have experienced a moment or a time period where things aren't moving, where you feel like things have stagnated, or perhaps things were moving backwards, or maybe you're in that moment now. You don't know, well, what should I be doing? Where should I be going? How do I move into a new phase or a new step in my spiritual life? Because there is one. You should be searching for a next step. There should be a desire to keep on moving forward, keeping on growing in our spiritual life. And that's what the circle of our spiritual life, the circle of being born again, is what we're going to be talking about today. So what does the circle of life look like for our spiritual lives? Here's a simple little diagram. At the bottom there, we have knowing, then it's understanding, willing, doing, and the circle continues. Today, we're going to start off at the bottom, at knowing. That's the entry point into our spiritual life. We come into baptism through knowing the Lord. We come to church, we learn about Him, we learn truths from His Word, we read the stories, we know those stories, we know some of the verses in the Bible, and we see something there. We see a possibility, we see a promise of something new, of something heavenly, of something happy. And so we come into baptism knowing the Lord. But knowing is but the first step. Being born again or coming into baptism is not the end. To be a born-again Christian, it's not that baptism is now you are saved. Baptism, or that first step of being born again, is the opening up of the gate into a spiritual life. Opening up of the gate to a heavenly life. Now we as Christians can get stuck at the gate. We can get stuck thinking that I have given my life to the Lord, that's all I need to do. And we get stuck at this gate. But then there's no movement. Where is God's design within your spiritual life? Where is that constant moving, constant progressing that the Lord has designed into everything? If we stand still, if we're not trying to do something in our spiritual lives, we are stuck at the gate. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. It's from the book called Secrets of Heaven. And it's going to talk to us about the next step, from knowing to understanding. What is it to understand? So you can follow along in your pew card. A person is not human unless he or she is provided with understanding as well. Okay, so understanding is what we're going to talk further about, is what we're trying to discover. What is it to understand? Will alone, or just wanting something, does not make a human being, but understanding and will together. So we've got understanding, and then at the top we've got will. Those two things make us human. But that first step is the understanding. Understanding cannot be acquired except by means of knowledges and cognitions. What are cognitions? If you think about cogs working in an engine, or cogs within a clock that meet and work together and that fit together. That's an easy way to think about cognitions. We have ideas and knowledge and facts from all sorts of places, and part of what the Lord gives us the ability to do is to join ideas together. See how things work together. See how one thought and another thought connect to form a bigger working mechanism, a bigger working idea. So the way to understanding is through knowledge, through Bible verses that we know, through preaching that we've heard, through the Bible study that we've done ourselves. All of those are ways in which we build up our knowledge base. But the Lord desires us to move further than that, to take that knowledge base and to see how the different ideas are starting to work with each other and to connect with one another. So let's carry on reading. And therefore, he or she has been endowed with these steps, or step by step, from childhood onwards. We learn our whole life. Okay? The process of rebirth is your whole life. You are working on this project. This, your whole life, you are working with the Lord. It's not one moment. It's your whole life. In this way, the second degree is formed. The second degree in our mind, which is the opening up of our mind to spiritual things. That's the second degree. The spiritual life. Our walk with the Lord. So that is opened up how? By having an understanding that is built on cognitions, built on ideas. Once the understanding part of the mind has been furnished with knowledge and cognitions, and especially cognitions of good and truth, he is for the first time able to undergo regeneration or rebirth or recreation. This is how he comes to receive new life for the first time, something that is achieved step by step. So rebirth can be thought of in terms of the Lord's coming. The Lord's word speaks about his first coming, but the Lord's word also speaks about a second coming that is possible. When we first give our lives to the Lord, when we first realize there's something more for my life, that is the Lord's first coming in your life. When you first feel that desire and that energy and that passion to follow him. But the Lord doesn't end there. The Lord wants us to move on to the next step, move on to really understanding him. And when we really understand him, there is a second coming. There is an opening up of that second level of our mind to see things from a spiritual perspective. And that opening up of that second level of our minds, that spiritual level of our minds, requires cognitions, the bringing together of ideas that are based on good and true things from his word. That's how we build our spiritual life. Good and true things that we learn from the word, but bringing them together so that they fit. Religion is supposed to make sense. Because if your religion makes sense, then your relationships make sense. If you have problems in understanding your religion, then you will have problems in understanding your relationship, because religion is life. So the Lord wants us to bring ideas together and fit them together. Take an example. We might hear that God is love. Okay, I'm sure everyone's heard that. God is love. He is all love. He is divine love. But then we also hear God is angry. God is love. God is angry. Those two ideas don't fit together. A loving God and an angry God don't fit together. Either he is loving or he is angry. Love is never angry. Anger is not loving. So when we get two ideas like that don't fit, sometimes people will say to us, well, it's a matter of faith. It's hitting those two ideas together and making them fit, but really they don't fit. When we come across two ideas that don't fit, we've got to say to ourselves, well, which one of these ideas is wrong? Which one of these ideas is wrong? And so we take one of them and we've got to rethink, or we've got to take one of them and throw them out. Ideas are meant to fit together. When things start to fit together, we start to understand things better. We have cognitions. We start to see a bigger picture. And the more ideas that we can get to fit together, the more beautiful our understanding of the Lord and our life is. So I want to give you an example of an idea that we can have knowledge of, but how to take that idea, and if we really think about it, we can see a second level, a deeper level, a spiritual level open up to us. And when we understand it on a deeper level, we for the first time understand our place in this world. We understand our place within relationships. We understand the effects of our life on other people. So let's take the Ten Commandments. We all know the Ten Commandments, and probably most well-known one is do not murder. Okay, everybody should know that one. Do not murder. Now, we all know do not murder about you don't kill your neighbor. You don't kill anyone. You don't take another person's life. But that's the basic. That's the knowledge. We all have that knowledge in our mind. How do we take that deeper? So we can take that idea and think about it from other teachings from that the Lord gives us. He says anger is a root to murder, or anger within it holds a fire of murder. So if we get angry with someone, deep down in our heart, there is a burning a desire to kill that person, to take away their happiness, take away their life. So that's the next step deeper. But we can go even deeper than that. If we think in a spiritual meaning for murder, it's about turning people away from the Lord, turning people away from religion, turning people away from worship. That is spiritual murder, taking their spiritual life away from them. So we might, as people say, sure, you know, I keep that commandment. I haven't killed anyone in my life. But we have all been angry. We've all been angry. In that moment of anger, we have killed someone's happiness. We've taken that away from them. And then on a deeper level, on a spiritual level, we say, well, I've never turned anyone away from the Lord. If someone asks, sure, I'll bring them to church and I'll introduce them to people and to the Lord and to the. I'm sure I don't break that commandment. But there's a different aspect to that. Think for a moment about your commitment to the Lord. People know that you are a Christian, I assume. In conversation, you might know, okay, who's Christian, who's Muslim, who's Buddhist, who's. It's part of conversation. People know that you are a Christian. And people generally know, well, to be a Christian, you should be following the Lord, following Jesus' ways. But if we say we're a Christian, but yet turn around and treat people harshly, judge other people, if we are critical, if we are unfair, if we are selfish in our dealings with people, they're going to look at us and say, if that's how Christians are, I don't want to be a Christian. If we think about anything extreme, any of the religions have the extreme sections. If you think about extreme Christians, very judgmental and critical about who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, you say, well, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want to be a part of it. If you think about Muslim extremists, terrorism, bombing, you say, if that's Muslim, I don't want to be a Muslim. How we interact with people is how people see the Lord. Our life that we live affects how people connect with the Lord. The Lord, when he was here on earth, had some harsh things to say about the scribes and the Pharisees because they were doing exactly the same thing. The scribes and the Pharisees were the ones who knew the law. They were in charge of the law, of what was right and what was wrong. But yet, they treated people very unfairly. They themselves did not live according to the law. So they would teach it and preach it, but they wouldn't live it. So the Lord had harsh things to say to them. We read in Matthew 23, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." In other words, you are stuck at the gate. You are not going through the gate, and you are stopping the people coming in who are behind you. The same applies to us as Christians. We can call ourselves born-again Christians and turn around and treat other people unfairly at work on Monday. We can go home and treat our family with disrespect. We can be harsh and judgmental and selfish and yet call ourselves Christians. We are being hypocrites. Now, all of us, in some way or another, are hypocrites, even myself. All of us are in some way hypocrites. We all know the right things to do. We all know how we should treat other people. We all know we shouldn't be so judgmental or shouldn't get angry or shouldn't be dishonest or tell any lies. We all know that, but our life doesn't reflect it. So there are aspects of our life where we are the hypocrites. We are standing at the gate. We have stalled. We have stagnated on knowing the truth, but we haven't progressed to really understanding it. When we truly understand the Lord's truths, it affects our lives. It has power in our lives. We see our mistakes. That's the difference between knowing and understanding. When we understand the Lord's truths, we see our own failure. We see our own mistakes. We also see then our effects on other people. We see where we are being too harsh, where we are being too selfish. And the rest of the circle of life then flows from that understanding. And we'll talk about that next week. So today it's about moving from just knowing, just calling ourselves Christian, to really understanding the Lord's truth. So how do we move to that? We got to carry on learning. We got to carry on studying. We got to carry on reading for ourselves. We got to carry on with our prayers. We got to carry on with our self-examination. Write some of them down. Right? Read the Word. Study the teachings for the new church. In your pew card, I've listed some other resources. Okay? Keep on studying. Keep on trying to understand. Keep on praying to the Lord for help. Guide me and show me where I am not understanding things. And give time to self-reflection. That's probably the biggest thing that we don't do, is allocate time in our day or at multiple points in our day to just reflect. How did I treat people today? Where did I not live the Lord's word in my life? So we need to carry on studying, carry on learning, carrying on attending classes, doing what we need to do to understand more clearly our role in this world, understand more clearly where I am in my own spiritual life. Other people's lives are theirs to handle. It's not mine to judge. I only judge myself according to those truths that I see. And as we grow in our understanding, so the path becomes more clear. We have a better way of making decisions in our lives. We can see where we're going wrong in relationships. We can see where we're going wrong in our work life. We can see all sorts of errors that we are making. Once we have that clear path, understanding things not just in worldly knowledge terms, but in spiritual terms. What is it to live a heavenly life? And how am I measuring up to that? And that's what understanding the Lord requires in our minds. The Lord is constantly moving us through the circle of life. And it's not one big lump of life, of our life, that is moving. But the Lord takes one truth, one failure in your life, and work on just that one thing. Just one. Just pick one today. One thing that you can work on this week that you can really understand so that you can start moving forward in life. The Lord doesn't want us to say, oh, my whole life is a mess, because then we'll just give up. The Lord says, pick one thing. Work on one thing. Keep that going. Keep that going. As we work on our spiritual path, the Lord in His unseen ways is working in bigger ways on our spiritual path. But He needs us to cooperate. I want to end with this passage from Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men. This is what the Lord wants us to do as Christians. Let our light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in the heavens. Let our lives be an example of what a heavenly life can be. Let our lives be an example of what a loving life can be, so people can find their way to the Lord. That's our job as Christ followers, to be that example that other people might find the Lord. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, you are always with us. You are always urging and pressing on our hearts to keep on moving in this circle of life, to taking the next step, to learning more about you, more about your word, that we might start joining ideas together, that we might start seeing the bigger picture of what a heavenly life is and what our role is within that system. Lord, we ask for your courage. We ask for your strength. We ask for your inspiration to keep on learning from your word, but also the courage and the strength to look inward to our lives, that we might see where our knowledge, where our understanding of a life is not in keeping with how we are actually living. So Lord, we pray that you bring these things to our attention, that you give us a desire and an urgency to change, that we might keep on moving, move out of the doorway and start moving into a new life. Lord, we thank you for your word by which you speak to us and by which you guide us to all things. Amen. May the Lord give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen.